He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Well, there was a play, there was a stretch, and actually, I thought there were two really key J.J. Redick moments in this one. One was more of a gamble, the second one was more of an adjustment. The first one was when, at the very beginning of the second half, Denver cuts it to one, and I guarantee you, every single Lakers fan watching that game was like, timeout, you're going to call timeout, you're going to call timeout, all right, no timeout, I guess. And the Lakers immediately go on a 10-0 run, push it back to double digits, and actually Denver winds up having to call the timeout. I thought that was a really cool thing. And I've been trying to contextualize or try to figure out why JJ wouldn't have called the timeout there. And it's actually pretty self-explanatory because LeBron and Luka and Austin are on the court at the same time. And he's like, yeah, eventually they'll go on a run.
Yeah, it's like, what am I going to tell you guys? Figure it out.
Yeah, right, you know? Right, exactly. Yeah, it's like, you call a timeout there if it's a stretch where it's one of those guys in a bench unit, you know?
Yeah,
you call,
or it's you like call, someone's just getting hunted relentlessly. Like, Dalton's getting hunted, and it's like, okay, we just got to get him out. They're going at him too much, and he's tired, and he doesn't have it tonight. You know, but yeah, when you have your three sort of alphas in there, which is crazy to include Austin in that sentence, but true, you know, it's like, what is JJ Redick going to tell LeBron and Luka?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And like, you know, lo and behold, the Lakers just, they run whatever pick and rolls they have to run, and they create whatever shots that they felt like they needed to create. They knocked down those shots too. Importantly, Rui had a big shot. LeBron had a nice runner and stuff. And then they hit a couple extra shots on top of that. And Malone winds up having to call a timeout under the same circumstance. Like, while his best players were on the court, Malone felt the need to call a timeout there. So I thought that was a really kind of cool moment. But the second really cool moment was Denver was going, went zone. They went to that like 3-2 or 1-2-2 zone that they were running. And the issue that the Lakers were having was that they were having Vanderbilt cut through the middle of the zone. And, Even if he caught it, Denver never really reacted to him having the ball. What's that?
Which is an if sometimes.
Yeah, there were times where he was cutting and the Lakers were like, why would I pass?
Yeah, here? And then the bigger if is, will he make the layup? And often the answer is no.
Right. Well, will he make the layup? Will he make the right pass? Will he execute the right pass? Like all of that stuff. And so eventually, now Rui got hurt. And so I think it threw a bit of a curveball in there too. I think Dorian came in and I think Goodwin came in, and it was Goodwin and it was Gabe on the perimeter. And because it's a 1-2-2 zone or a 3-2 zone, you always want to offset the other. Like, so if the top of the zone defensively is one defender, you want to go into a two guard set there, because you want to make that one defender move back and forth, and that moves the rest of the defense too. And then if it's a 2-3 zone, you want one player at the top of that zone, and then you force those two defenders to be on a string with every pass that they throw. And because it's that 3-2 zone, you had Gabe and Goodwin at the top of the zone, and instead of Vando running that cut into the middle of the zone, it turned into LeBron cutting into the middle of the zone. And every time the ball got into LeBron, the defense absolutely went, you know, and had to collapse. And LeBron, either it collapsed or LeBron had whatever shot that he wanted, and it forced Denver out of that zone. And then right after they got out of the zone, the Lakers ran a few pick and rolls and the lead ballooned up to 17. And I just thought those were two really cool moments there from a rookie coach. To understand the team's personnel, to understand like, all right, we don't need to make an adjustment. The adjustment is Luka, LeBron, Austin, get your shit together. Or in a situation where they did need an adjustment, he did call a timeout. They got Vando out of the game. They put LeBron into the middle of the zone, and they completely carved up that zone. And that was it. After they did that, the game was completely over. And I thought those were two really cool moments.
I'm sorry. I'm sure your whole point was great, but I missed part of it because I believe someone was setting off fireworks outside my house, which I am choosing to believe is LA ringing in the Jokic ownership of the Lakers is over. And, you know, there's a new sheriff in town and Luka is going to lead us to the promised land.
Yeah. Do you think that was actually Genie? Do you live close enough for it to?
They don't have fireworks before the parade budget, I don't think. So,
like, I'm trying to think of like who was setting off. Do you think it was no? Because
believe it or not, I don't live in the same area that I think Genie Bus probably lives. I'm just guessing. Like, I don't actually know where she lives, but I'm assuming it's not Hawthorne.
How close are you to the Spectrum building?
I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes.
That's what it was. It was Spectrum. They were like, oh, thank God.
It was actually James Worthy's Worthy clap was so enthusiastic so that you could loud. Hear it miles away. It broke the sound it barrier was, it like was Superman. The
Hulk clap? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely incredible game. All right. Any final thoughts before we throw to the super comments?
I just think that we have to ask a question, and it's, is Mike Malone's entire career just being a Darvin Ham and D'Lo merchant? Because I'm just saying, I've seen the results since those two guys are gone. I'm just asking the question. You know?
That is so good.
I'm just saying, he's looking real funny going up against the podcaster. You know,
I mean, it needs to be said. These points need to be made. All right. Unlike the other end of that spectrum, I've seen
Lakers daddy paternity suit. I don't know. I think you're hearing you are not the father. You know, we're on Maury right now. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know if you're the Lakers daddy. You were someone on the other sidelines, daddy.
Darvin daddy just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Daddy Ham.
You know? Yeah. Like it doesn't, you know.
And also, I mean, we should, but in seriousness, we should apologize to Darvin because he was clearly right. Rui is the Jokic stopper. They needed Luka as well. Like if he would have had Luka, they would have been fine.
It's so crazy though to watch. So I've gotten this question a bunch and I saw that it was a topic on Twitter today, but this notion that like, is the Lakers defense better without Anthony Davis? And for one thing, like ask that question out loud and just think of like how ridiculous you sound saying it. But I think there are a couple factors at play here. One, the Lakers right now are bigger than they have ever been since the 2019-2020 championship. And if you had Anthony Davis at the center of a defense, like we saw this, we were starting to see this. If you had Anthony Davis at the center of a defense with this many wings, you add to that, by the way, Max Christie, like I think the Lakers could have gone on a pretty incredible run defensively. They were already a top five defense, and then AD got hurt, but then they've kind of kept it up since. I've been telling you guys for years now, wings are the most important player when it comes to your like role players on a court. And I think that's even more important on the defensive side of the ball because you saw every time Denver was trying to throw any kind of pass through the paint today, it had to go through like three or four Lakers hands in order
to get even Luka, who does not have a rep as a defender. Like he's just long and he got, I think he had, what was it? Four steals tonight.
Four.
He had his hands all over the passing lanes. You know, that is the one thing, you know, again, you can criticize him for gambling sometimes if you want, whatever. I'm not saying that Luka's like this great defensive player, but he has tools that allow him to impact defense at times and not be just like an outright complete weakness.
Well, he's a really, really smart basketball player. And he's fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like he's a big guy. And so like it's and different
not just the way Nico Harrison means. Like wingspan wise, verticality.
He's really, really smart. And but like It's just like you look at, you watch it, like go back and I can't wait to rewatch this game. I cannot wait. But like, watch how uncomfortable Jokic of all players is making any kind of pass out of the traps that the Lakers were setting. And they were I think Rui deserves a ton of credit tonight, not just for the making the threes when he made them, but like there was not a single moment that Jokic was on the court tonight and he looked at all comfortable. And I'm not talking about like when he had the ball, I'm talking ever. Like if he, when Denver was on the court, when Denver was on offense and Luka was trying, or Jokic was just trying to get to his spots that they needed him to get to like run a set. Vando was like standing in front of him. Rui was standing in front of him. Dorian was standing in front of him. LeBron was fighting him for position. And that's before he even caught the ball. And then that forced him to catch the ball a good like 5-6 feet further out from the basket than he wanted. And then they were setting those traps. And then when they were setting the traps on the backside of that defense was a whole bunch of length and athleticism and guys who knew where to be. And yes, there were breakdowns. There are going to be breakdowns. And this kind of defense, I am a little concerned about the sustainability to it because they have to play so hard to execute it. But like when they do, when they really dial it in, like it is just, it's so fun. And then like you mentioned earlier, Harrison, when they get those stops and they get out and run, I have no earthly idea what teams do on against a transition team that has LeBron on one side and Luka on the other. I don't have any earthly idea.
It might be a good idea. You know, maybe if you like just sort of get down and you start praying to whatever deity you believe in, that like it might confuse them enough a couple times that they're like, you know, oh, what? Wait, what happened? Why is everybody ducking? And they just turn the ball over.
Yeah, Jonathan Isaac actually might do that. But all right, so let's go ahead and dive on into the super comments. It was funny earlier. You were like, can we cuss, right? It is like, yeah. Fuck Washington!
I'm sorry. I forgot. It's late. I forgot if you were like trying to monetize these shows, if you were allowed to or something. Yeah. But
yeah, I mean, I'm probably pushing it tonight with this episode, but I don't even care. Like this was such a fun big win that I don't even care. All right, Marley, and
Boston, you know, it's, yeah. What did they do tonight? They know what they did, you know?
Marley Villasenor kicks us off with Gordon as 2016. Clay is wild. Him and Russ won't shoot like that always. Also, I've been very impressed with JJ lately. Defensive game planning has been great. That's also what's crazy, Harrison, is that the Lakers won a game against the Nuggets and like going away, in which Aaron Gordon shot 4 of 7 from 3-point range and Russ shot 3 of 7. So like that's you know, 50% on high volume from those two guys. And the Lakers took those big shots and it's like, all right, we'll just go knock down one of our own or create a wide open one of our own.
I mean, I would expect those guys to shoot a little better given the way that the Lakers were playing them. But I was, you know, when you were making your defense point earlier, yeah, I wouldn't expect them to shoot 50%, to be clear. But I would expect them to shoot a little better than their averages. But I also to your point on the defense earlier, I think another huge thing for the Lakers has just been sort of stylistically this year. You know, like I know, like I don't live that close to the film room, like our friend Coach Pete from LFR, but he might have been setting off fireworks for the way this team gang rebounds now. And the way that this team actually closes out to shooters without their hands in their pockets, you know, it's just like there's a lot of just sort of activity, low hanging fruit things that they're doing just at a smarter level than they have the last couple years, where it's like, hey, why don't we have AD drop? And it's like, well, that, you know, that sort of is like the thing he's the least, you know, differentiated from every other big in the NBA at. You know, he's good at it, but
yeah,
he's good
at everything. But they had to, because it was like he was the only guy who like rebounded, you know. Yeah. So it was like, you know,
when they tell the other four players on the team they're allowed to rebound as well, how many more rebounds you get?
Yeah, and hold them accountable too. Like
Luka was boxing out tonight. Again, I know he's never going to have a rep as a great defender, nor really should he. But, you know, he was boxing out Jokic at times tonight to allow for gang rebounding. You know, like they were, they really were all sort of, you know, they seem to take some pride in this one. And I don't know if some of that is him trying to send a message of like, hey, you know, how much of the roster do you need to turn over for this to be a different team against the Nuggets? It's like, well, we found our answer, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do kind of feel bad for AD because I know he was watching. And he's just like, what the fuck? Where has this been? Like, could I couldn't get one Dorian Finney-Smith like over the last 3 years?
It's
I
was like got to be how D'Angelo Russell. Russ's first like half season with the Clippers when he was like really trying on defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're well, like, what the hell? Too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I am never going to be the person who says like the Lakers defense is better than, you know, I think they are playing better defensively than they did while AD is there, but I don't think they are a better defensive team without Anthony Davis. And those are two certainly very, very different
wise. I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Justin Tindall writes, AD would be pissed. Joker made two shots. I couldn't, it took Jokic like till the second quarter to shoot. Like he just never looked all that comfortable. Now Jokic, because he's still great, finished with a triple double, right? 12, 10 and 13. Again, the Lakers beat the crap out of the Nuggets in a Jokic assist game. Like those are the ones that you lose. If Jokic is racking up assists, you lose.
You have the Jokic assist and Russ and Aaron Gordon positive variance shooting game.
Right. And the Lakers
win by 20.
Beat the crap out of, should have beat him by more. I'm dumbfounded at what this win tells us that this team is capable of. Like I tweeted out, like, I know that it's going to come off as in jest, you know, the Lakers, like, you know, what did they tweet out? It was consider this a warning.
Yeah.
At NBA. Like I'm kind of sort of there. Like I'm kind of looking at this. Like I've always been kind of, I think
what? The Nuggets again, I know they won 9 going into tonight. They, when I have watched them this year, have not looked as good as past Mm-mm. years. And oh, no. So I do think like this is not the same Nuggets as well that was like sort of owning the Lakers the last couple of years. Like as bad as KCP has been in Orlando, or I guess is mediocre, you know, like they still miss just having hit. Like he's better than the guys that they're sort of playing as backups to Christian Brown to, you know, replace him and replace those minutes. But so this is a diminished Nuggets team that sort of frankly like cheaped out in some areas and tried to be like, hey, Mike Malone, guess what? You have to play our young guys that aren't good. And, yeah. You know, I mean, that may end up hurting them. And then we also have to ask, like, you know, is Jokic GM like a bad decision maker going after Russ?
Again, Russ was actually good.
I know.
It was so annoying in the second half. He was like, God damn it. The only thing that would make this better if we could just victory lap.
He did the same thing the first game. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to brick everything. They're going to stop guarding me. And then I'm going to go off in the second half.
Yeah. Jeff Perosi writes, we really need Harrison on more than twice a month. How much would the show need to grow to develop AI Harrison for the other two shows a month?
Hang on a minute, Jeff. That I appreciated your comment until you tried to just replace me with AI.
That's the investment.
There's no way that it would cost Anthony less money to develop an AI model of me than to just to hire just me.
You on? Yeah. I mean, look,
I'm a blogger. I'm not that expensive.
Like, I don't know, man. I've seen your positions at SB Nation. They just say every time I talk to you, it's like, yeah, I got another promotion. So actually I might start developing an AI.
Chat GP Fagan.
I know it'll be a hat PT, right? Because you're Fedora.
Oh yeah.
It'll be hat Fedora, PT.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That is, I think, going to do it here for this. Again, what'd you call it? Urgency episode?
Yeah, it's an urgency episode. It's not an emergency. You know, this is the new normal where the Lakers just kick the shit out of the Nuggets. You know, it's like, I'm we got to get used to this. We don't have to do an urgency episode the next time they spank the Nuggets by 20. But this time, it's such a sea change from what has come before that, you know, there was some urgency for this episode.
It was all the variables, too, like we talked about. Aaron Gordon shot well. The only difference here is that, like, Michael Porter Jr. didn't shoot well. He has been pretty bad this year by his standards. And then, you know, with how physically the Lakers played tonight, that's usually when MPJ struggles. But the fact that the Lakers beat the Nuggets in the Aaron Gordon game and the Russell Westbrook second half and, you know, Jokic dished out the 10 assists, like this is normally a game that, like, at the very least, it's close. But the Lakers beat the piss out of them.
And you know how absolutely mad
dominated them.
I know we have some friends in Nuggets media, but do you know how mad they have to be that there was a Let's Go Lakers chant breaking out in Ball Arena? It took one game for the Lakers fans to come back out in full force.
Oh man, I love Lakers fans. We're the best. Everybody hates us, but we're the best.
Well, they hate us because it's like, you know, there's like a small domino of like Rob and Nico Harrison meet for coffee, and then it's like big domino Mike Malone fired after a playoff flameout. Like, no,
it's,
you know,
like, it's like Nico Harrison started as an intern is like the small domino at Nike. Like, yeah. Nico Harrison starts at Nike is the big domino or the small domino, and then the big domino way down the road is Nico Harrison.
Like Luka Doncic, like multi-time Lakers champion. Like,
that is going to do it, though. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. There are roughly 3,000 of you guys tuned in right now. So please hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and then tell your friends about the show as well. The bigger the show gets, the higher the likelihood becomes that I can maybe bring on Harrison like one half an episode more. He's really expensive is the thing.
Or replace me with AI, apparently.
Or you
have not released a statement yet committing to not replace me with AI. So I'm side-eyeing you a little bit.
I mean, you're management, so you don't really get to judge me. So have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.